This is Saturday Java with Jason, where great coffee meets great guests and great conversations. We are here this week with Martin Salama. He is a author of a book called The Architect of the Warrior, LIFE Code. He also has cards to go with that, that has flash cards. We could talk about that. And he also has a program, too, which is a guaranteed seven-figure abundant entrepreneurial program, which we're going to talk about that. So I'm going to turn the time over to Martin, and he's going to give an introduction of who he is and what else he does.
Well, hi, Jason. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here with you. And I'm looking forward to spending some time with you here today. So I'm known as the architect of the Warrior's Life Code. As you said, life for me is basically everything that I do. And I broke it down into an acronym called Live Incredibly Full Every Day. That's what life stands for me. And what I mean by that is getting up every day and looking for the positivity, looking for the opportunity, but it also has two sides to it. I want you to be happy, and I want you to have a meaningful life. It's very easy to say you're happy, you got a great life, everything's great, but are you having meaning in your life? And the other thing is possibly the other way too. You could be doing things that are meaningful and not be happy. So it's encompassing both. To me, happy means self-help, self-care, self-love, even a little bit of selfish. Whereas meaningful is selfless. What are you going out and doing for the world to make the world a better place? So that's how I look at live incredibly full every day. What do you think of that?
Oh, that's awesome. Because I've been having a lot of guests on about that. And I do really want to talk to you about this too, because that to me is big time. People don't understand how much being selfish really you got to do. Because if you can't make yourself happy, even though you're married, even if you have kids, you got to make yourself happy before you can make anybody else happy.
Yep. It's the airplane syndrome. You got to put the mask on yourself first before you help everybody around you. Because if you can't breathe, how are you going to help everybody else breathe? So take that metaphor and say, if you can't go out every day and feel good about everything and do what's right for you, how can you help anybody else? Selfishness does not necessarily mean you don't care about anybody. It means you're taking care of yourself, and then you're taking care of others as well. And for me, I'm a recovering people pleaser. I came last as a people pleaser. Now I try to as best I can. And the reason I say recovering, because easily I slip, just like anybody recovering from something, you slip once in a while. So I find myself slipping. And most people that are people pleasers don't even realize that that's what they are. You know?
Now, what do you say to the people out there that say, oh, I got to do this for that person? You know, I do come last. I put everybody else first. I mean,
you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, why are you doing that? You know, what are you trying to get out of that? Are you trying to make everybody love you? First thing is, you can't make everybody happy. That's the first thing. You got to recognize you got to make yourself happy and then others around you. If you, and it can't be forced. It can't be, I got to do this. It should be coming from a place of, I get to do this. I want to do this. Because the, I got to do this keeps you down into that negative energy, that lack mindset.
And what I like is doing things that add value to your day too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you're depressed, and I'm not saying this, like depression isn't everything, you know, and I know people are out there getting medicated for it. I'm not saying that. But if you're home, you just lost your job or broke up with your girlfriend or wife, whatever you have, do things that add value to your life, that make you smile. One of the books I read is Make Your Bed, where that's the first thing that you do when you get up in the morning. Make your bed, or even lay out your clothes the night before. Something to make you feel like you're successful. That's one thing. Put a smile on your face. It'll make you feel better.
I love it. I love it. And you know, what I'd say to you is, before you even get out of bed in the morning, write down three things you're grateful for and have that mindset of, I'm going to look for gratitude. I'm going to look for opportunities. I'm going to look for happiness. Then I'm going to get out of bed and make my bed, because I can say I did something productive today, and then move from there.
And one thing I listen to is Andy Frisella, who talks about critical lists. He always says, think 5 years from now. What do you see yourself doing? Then make a list. Okay, in 5 years, I want to do this. Well, in a year, for me to get there, I have to do this. That means every month I got to do X, Y, Z. Every week I got to do this. Every day I got to do this. So when you get up, there's tasks to do, but they're small tasks, making phone calls or doing this, doing that. Something to get you to that big goal.
100%. I agree with that 100%. I talk about it in my course. I talk about it with my clients that you have to celebrate the little things along the way. Don't think, okay, I need to lose 50 pounds and by tomorrow I'll lose 50 pounds. It doesn't work that way. You know, you got to put a plan in place and set goals, and make sure that what you're doing is going the right direction. And you may have some setbacks, and it doesn't mean give up. It means reset your goals. It means look for something. And then when you lose 2 pounds, say, wow, I lost 2 pounds or whatever. Or today, let's say you say, I'm going to start walking and you could barely get around the corner once around the block. Tomorrow, you'll get around the block a little easier. Next week, you'll be doing it 2 times, 3 times. Build on your successes.
And talk about losing weight. I saw the best analogy. A person had a bowl of 100 grains of rice. And they say, look, you take one out. You really don't see much of a difference. You take two out. You still don't see. But pretty soon, you're going to start seeing that bowl of rice go down. It's not an overnight thing. Any change, no matter what it is, it takes progress. It takes work. It takes effort. Mm-hmm. So whatever you do, even if you want to open a business, come on, Martin, you know this. A business is not an overnight thing. It takes years to get going. You have to have a dream. You're going to have a dream. Then you got to make it into a goal. You got to sit and talk to people. You have research. Well, anything in life is like that. If you want to lose weight, it's not just, oh, I'm going to go on this one diet. You have to research that diet, see if that diet is good for you or anything like that.
Right. Absolutely. 100%. You know, you were talking about depression a little while ago, and there is physiological depression, which absolutely needs medication and doing the right, you know, what's right for you there. And there's psychological. For me, I hit rock bottom in after 2008 when the financial world fell apart. Right. I lost absolutely everything. And I was in a depression for over a year until I finally said, I got to get out of here. And it took some coaching. It took some therapy for me to understand that this depression that I was feeling was situational and that it was up to me to get. And I medicated a little while as well. And then I realized, you know what? I don't really need the medication. It's about me taking control of myself and moving forward. And that's basically when I decided to change my life and started down the road of becoming a life coach.
Now, I know that you wrote this book. Is there anything that we're talking about now that is in the book that you could say, hey, look, read the book. It's in there.
Pretty much everything. I'm a pretty open book, as it were. I don't leave anything. As a matter of fact, somebody said to me, you know, Martin, you're very vulnerable in the book. You're very raw in the book. I go, well, how can I help other people if they don't see that I understand where they come from? Do I know their situation exactly? No, because everybody's situation is different. But you have people who get what you're going through, and you're not alone. And by my showing them how I was like that and how I overcame it and that it's possible and it doesn't happen overnight, that's where my book comes in. I give them my stories. I give them thoughts on how to get there. And here's the beauty. I also give them practical steps to make it happen. It's not just the woo-woo. The woo-woo is good stuff, but I back it up with real practical application.
Yeah, what we're saying right now is I'm not talking to people out there saying, oh, I can't do that. My life is busy. Oh, I work 12 hours a day and I have kids and stuff like that. Well, get your kids involved.
Yeah.
Like if you want to go do something, if you want to clean the garage or you want to do something to make yourself feel better, get your kids out there with you.
Yeah, make it a family activity.
Or, hey, I want to lose weight. get your kids to go for a walk with you around the block. I mean, I'm not sure how old your kids are, but I know for sure a lot of kids can use exercise these days.
Yeah. You know, today I did, you know what I did today? I went to my grandchildren's, two of my grandsons' grandparents' day in their preschool. I got to spend some time with two of my grandsons today.
And that even made you feel good, even though it wasn't your day. But I mean, you know, like, you know, if it was a grandparents' day and you still went, you know, it doesn't have to be a special occasion. You know, you can go spend time with your grandkids, 100%. Your kids. You know,
I'm very fortunate that my kids live near me.
Yeah. And that's the thing. A lot of people don't. But a lot of people are like, oh, they live far away. There's FaceTime, there's Zoom. There's things like that that you can do to make yourself feel better. If you, oh, I haven't seen my kids in a while, get on Zoom. There's things nowadays, you know, so.
Hey, listen, when the world was shut down, and even though my kids were nearby, we couldn't go out of the house. We couldn't be with them. We set up a Zoom meeting with the family every week just to catch up so I could see the grandchildren, so I could catch up with my children and, you know, stay connected. It was important. We forget about this stuff. It was 4 years ago now.
Yeah, it seems like it doesn't seem that long ago, you know. But now I want to ask you, for people that out there that do want to open their own business, or they do want to become further than what they are, you said that you have a business that you opened that can help you earn seven figures in 2 years.
Yes, indeed.
It seems kind of far-fetched. So can you explain to people how you can actually, I know you can't get really into the program because you want them to buy it.
I can basically tell you. I can give you an overview of it. So what happened was, is that I've been a coach for about 15 years, right? And during that time, I learned how to best serve my clients. And I would always, over those times, look for these courses that were going to help me get to more people, impact more people. And in the beginning, it was about making more money, right? Instead of helping more people. Now I get that too. It's about helping more people and the money will come. But I would get into these programs and they say, okay, this is how much it costs to be in this program. And they'd give me a crazy number and I'd figure out, oh my God, I got to do this. It's going to change my life. And then I would get into the program and I'd be full steam ahead. And something would come up where I didn't understand how to do something. The program didn't give me what it was promised for. It was said it was going to be a done with you and a done for you program. And it was really what I call now a done to you program, you know, where they did it to me. You know. So with all that said, I said, I want to help people who are looking to build their business, specifically in the coaching, consulting and area, but I can do it in other areas as well, get to a point where they're making seven figures within 2 years or less. Okay, how do I do this? So one of the things I did was I came up with a comprehensive program that covers pretty much everything that they need to do. But that's only part of it. So now I said, I'll never forget, I was having a conversation with somebody who used to be my coach, and I was going through my program with him and what I was doing and how the fee structure was created. And he said, you know what? You're doing something that I don't see other people do. You're a coach. The money coaches out there, they get the money and then that's it. But you're a coach that's putting skin in the game. How do I do that? So my program costs, it's a $1 million program, right? I'm going to get you to $1 million. So if I can tell you I can get to $1 million, would you pay me $100,000?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. So now if I told you, Jason, give me 100 to get a million, you may get nervous to say, I don't have 100 right now. So instead I said, okay, let's make it where you pay in the beginning 12,500, 12.5% of the whole number, right? Then we start working and we get going and we do all the things that are necessary to get you moving. And in there, we build your blueprint. We validate your program to make sure that it's what you're putting together is right, so on and so forth. All these different steps that I help you do. Then you don't pay me again until you hit $50,000 in sales. And then you pay me 12.5. So now you've paid me 25, but you've made 50. Right. So your return on investment is 2-1 already. Then I say, okay, let's keep working. Let's do more. Let's duplicate what we're doing, teach you how to be scalable and stuff like that. And when you get to 250, Then you pay me another 50,000. Now another 25, excuse me. So the total is 50,000, and they've paid and they've made 250. So now their ROI, their return on investment, is 5 to 1. And then I said, you don't pay me another penny. You don't pay the balance until you hit a million. Then you pay me the other 50. Now you've made the million and I've made the 100, right? But we are partners in this. I mean, I have skin in the game and it's my job to get you over the finish line, because it's as successful as I want me to be, I want you to be too. And then who knows where we'll go from there.
All right, Martin, what was your first job?
Oh, okay. So my first job was working for my dad in his factory.
What's your favorite season?
I'm sorry?
Your favorite season?
My favorite season would have to be the summer.
What's your favorite food?
I'm from Brooklyn, so you got to figure my favorite food's got to be pizza.
Who's your hero?
Now, that's an interesting question. Am I talking a person who's real and around, or it could be anybody from history or whatever?
Whoever you look up to, the person you admire the most.
Okay, so I'm going to blow you away with this one. From the Bible, okay? From the Torah. I'm Jewish. I'm Orthodox Jewish. Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Why? Because he understood something that it takes many people don't even understand. There's a story in the Bible that he stole the birthright from his brother Esau, and he ran away because his brother was going to kill him. And they were gone for 20 years. He was gone for over 20 years. And when he came back to home, God told him it's time for you to go home. He was afraid of what happened when he was going to see his brother. So he heard that his brother's coming with 400 men. And here's Jacob with his 11 children and 4 wives and sheep and all these other things, the people who are working for him, nowhere near 400 men. So he set up where people came ahead of him, giving him gifts. This is from your servant Jacob, And by the time he got to him, Esau, his brother, hugged him and said, thank you so much for the gifts. I have a lot. And Jacob's answer was, it's okay, I have everything. Right there was the difference. Esau was saying, I have a lot, but I'll take more. Jacob was like, I have everything. I have whatever God feels I need, and I'm happy in my life, and I'll keep doing what I want to do, and I'll keep working, but I'm happy, and every day I look at way that I have everything I need. So Jacob is my hero.
What is your favorite dessert?
Ooh, my favorite dessert is—that's a good one. I like desserts. I'd have to say ice cream.
What time do you wake up?
5:45 at the latest every morning.
What movie do you quote the most?
What movie do I quote the most? Oh, that's a tough one. There's a bunch of them, but I have to say probably Field of Dreams.
Are you a night in or are you a night out?
I'm a night in.
Are you a thinker or are you a doer?
I'd like to think I'm both, but if you want me to answer one, I'm a doer.
Do you learn by doing or do you learn by watching?
I learn by doing.
When you go swimming, do you dive in or do you jump in?
Dive, baby, dive.
What's your guilty pleasure?
What's my guilty pleasure? Oh, that's a good one. Eating pasta with not having to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow.
You gain weight just by looking at it, I take it.
Just by looking at it, man.
What motivates you?
What motivates me? That's a good question. Over the years, it's changed. Right now, what motivates me is having an impact on people in my life, in my world, a positive impact so that they feel good about themselves. Basically what my program's about. That's what motivates me, watching people move forward in their lives.
What's your deepest fear?
What's my deepest fear? You know, I don't know. I don't have too many fears these days because I've gotten to the point years ago, I had fears of not having money, not being successful, losing my family when I was going through the divorce. I've come to the point where I don't feel that stuff. But I guess my deepest fear is not being loved.
How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as someone who made a difference in my community, in the Jewish world, and in the world fully. And I've done that. I was the founder of the first synagogue in Eatontown, New Jersey. And recently I went to a groundbreaking where they were expanding. And what started off with me killing myself to get 10 men to come for a service, there's over 400 families there. So, and my children know, and I know that I left a positive legacy there.
On your gravestone, what is something you would want written for people that don't know you to be like, that was Martin totally.
He enjoyed life and lived incredibly full every day.
And what do you care the most about?
I care the most about the people around me living a happy life.
Now, you said a few things there. They really should interest more people. So come on, man. If Martin can have those kind of responses and think positive, everybody else can too. So for those that don't read your book or can't get it for whatever reason, you do have flashcards.
I do.
To help them either remember the book, or if you haven't read the book, to kind of go along with the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are they, is it like passages on those cards, or is it just life lessons? How does that go?
A little bit of everything. So Jason, let's play a game. Give me a number between 1 and 32.
27.
27. The card number 27 is the abundant warrior within you. And warrior, you see, is an acronym here. And it's 7 secrets to an abundant mindset. Okay. So it's W, wisdom. Seek wisdom. Always look to be learning. A, which is part of my group, my cards here. A separate card is called the cycle of A's, ask, act, and attitude. Mm-hmm. Request from the universe what you want. Be proactive in getting what you want. And then don't have a strong desire that gives off the thoughts of lack. Don't be so emotionally tied. That's the attitude part. R, realization, be content. Like Jacob, I have everything. R, recognize, be grateful, gratitude for everything in your life. I, imagination, think big. O, optimism, find the positive in everything. And R, resilient, be flexible and have an open mind. Because if things aren't going the way you think it is, it may be God or the universe telling you, you need to make a course correction. You know, people say, I asked God for things and he didn't answer. Well, he might be answering no, because he doesn't think that's what you need.
And a lot of times it's not on your time. It's not when you need it. It's when God will give it to you.
Right.
He works on a different time than us. Yeah. Another thing too is the imagine. People stay so sheltered because they are unwilling to get out of their comfort zone. It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to say, look, I don't know if I can do this. I'm going to try it. I never did it before. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're going to be uncomfortable. You might have anxiety, stress, all that stuff. But there's doctors out there that tell you, yes, stress is good for you. I mean, because it helps you, like taking cold showers and stuff. Right. That puts your body through. That puts your body through stress. So right. You looked at me as stress is, oh no, that's the same way everybody looks at it.
Right.
When you go through a stressful situation, you come out and you learned your lesson after that situation.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what stressful situation that was, you learn something after you deal with that situation.
That's so true.
So yes, you think of stress, oh no, I got to deal with this. But once you get done with that situation, you feel better. You accomplished it.
Well said. Well said, Jason. You know, for me, the lowest points of my life when I was at my most stress is when I was the most aware of the things that were keeping me down there and needed to change. And that's when I was willing to look for the change.
And what did they do to you? You got stressed out on that.
Yeah.
And where are you now?
No, it eventually transformed me to, I say I used to be Martin 1.0 and now I'm Martin 2.0. Exactly. Doesn't necessarily mean there won't be a 3.0, but right now it's a 2.0.
But the thing is, people have got to stop looking honestly for the easy way out.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, if it's going to put you in a stressful situation, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. You know, it's you're going to come out on the other side a lot better than you went in.
Right. That's right. Yeah. People, you know, I one of my coaches talks about fear. All right.
Right.
And instead of of letting fear hold you back, use it to get you excited to move forward.
Right. And that's one of the things is people don't do that. People think that, oh, you know, instead of moving forward, I'm going to stay where I am. I'm comfortable. You know, I have this job, 7 to 3 or whatever it is. I'm going to go to that job every day, and it's my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there could be a job out there that pays you twice as much for the same thing you're doing. But the problem is you have to realize that it's going to be uncomfortable to switch to that job.
Right.
But you have to relearn everything, you know, go through training and all this other stuff, maybe probationary period again. But, dude, you're going to become better. It could be closer. So all these benefits, but you're never going to know unless you try.
That's right. That's right. 100%. And you know what? The more you stay in the comfort zone, the more comfortable you will be with not changing. You have to get comfortably uncomfortable and push yourself out of that comfort zone. The more you push yourself out, the more you're willing to put, and people are afraid, oh, what's going to happen to me? Take a chance. Something good might happen. And if something bad happens, like we talked about, you learn from it and you move forward.
And it's not how many times you fall. I mean, you could change your job and be like, oh, geez, that job was crap. But you're never going to know until you try. And if you don't like it, well, you tried.
That's
I mean, you know, give yourself a pat on the back. Hey, you did something great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. You can't say anything different than that. 100%.
You know, I can't remember the name of the book totally. I think it was called the High Five Movement. And what it was saying is, you know, you do a good job, Martin. I give you a high five. My brother over there does a good job. I give him a high five. But how often do you actually say good job to yourself?
Exactly. Exactly right. I talk about that too. That's what's great about having a coach. All right. Because I look at it as being accountable. Right.
Right.
You're accountable to everybody around you, your boss, your family, whoever. But when it comes to yourself, you're not accountable. So imagine you have somebody who you can be accountable for, who's for you. That's where I love having a coach, because it makes me accountable. And I come back and I'm like, okay, got it. I got that. I did my homework. I did what you want me to do. And my coach will say, you didn't do it for me. You did it for you. And because I made you accountable, it made you move forward. And I say that to my clients. You're doing it for you. If you want to make me happy, great. You're making me happy by showing up and saying you're willing to do the work and move forward. I'm happy. But it's really, I'm happier that you are doing the work so that you can move forward.
Another thing too is you got to be self-accountable and tell yourself the truth.
Yes.
Because if you say, oh, look, I'm going to go take the garbage out at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock comes around and the garbage not taken out yet.
Right.
Well, you kind of lied to yourself.
Yeah, you rationalize.
Yeah. So instead of I'm lying to this person over there, no, you should feel even guilty for lying to yourself because you know better.
Right, right. One of the things I talk about in my book is the word rationalize is two words. Rational
right.
lies.
Right.
But you're saying it's okay to do these things that I know I shouldn't be doing. And you're giving you permission to lie to yourself that it's rational to not do these things.
You know, that's a lot of things too, like that is procrastination. That's another big thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, tomorrow is the busiest day for procrastinators because it's always going to be put off till tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes.
That's right.
So even with your program that you have, the book and all this other stuff, I mean, procrastination is a big thing. You're never going to get anywhere putting things off.
Right, right. No question about it. Having the book, having the cards, even taking the course doesn't mean a thing if you're not doing the work that's in the book, that's in the cards. Because otherwise, you're just saying, oh, I read the book. No, you got to do the work. And it's not for me, it's for you.
And a lot of times people like to, I think what it is people, you know, once they pay for a program, they're like, I'm going to do it because I paid for it. If a book is only $5, pretty much they're going to read the book and forget about it.
Right.
But when you're paying a couple $1,000s for a program, well, there's a difference between a $10 book and a $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 program.
Agreed.
So, I mean, you get your book, that's a couple bucks, but you do your program. I bet you a lot of those people that do that program go through. Why? Because they're paying those bucks.
Yeah, a lot of people do, but a lot of people buy my program the full price and don't do it. I'm like, thanks for the 5,000, but that's not, you know, that's my online course and all that. But it's not about the money. It's about you doing the work. And I can tell when people are watching the videos because I can see on my computer, shows me who's watching, how far they're going. You know,
right.
Thanks for the money. Right. Thanks for the donation.
And one thing I want to get through to you is Martin's program is not a pyramid scheme. He's not saying, all right, you know what? I'm going to give this person this and I'm going to make them recruit five people. He's not doing that. So this is a real thing where, you know, he's not going to, you know, it's not a pyramid scheme. It's his real program.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I don't believe in the word pyramid scheme. There are many MLMs out there, network marketing, that are successful.
Right.
This is not a network marketing. It could sound like one. I don't know why to some people, but it's not. It's you do the work. I'm here to help you grow. You want to grow? Let's do it together. I tell them there's two main guarantees. One, there's going to be chaos. Things are going to get screwed up. And two, if you don't give up on you, I won't give up on you. Now, even when you do give up on you, I'm going to get back to you and say, what the hell, man?
Now, if people do have a problem, whether they're just beginning or later on in the program, if they have a problem, are you there? If like a phone call away, a Zoom program away?
Yes, I am. They could pick up the phone. They could make a Zoom call with me. They could just send me a message through our Slack, which is an app. Hey, Martin, I'm struggling. I had that way last week. I had a woman in my course say, you know what? I don't know if I want to do what we've been doing. I've been working on this for 2 months now, and I don't know if I feel it. So I got on the call with her. I said, listen, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. What do you want to do? And let's build it based on that. And then go deep into yourself. We spent a nice amount of time. And she said, I'm going to think about it. And then she came back a week later on our weekly coaching call and said, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to continue with that program. I'm like, okay, great. Let's go full steam ahead. But she had that momentary lapse and she needed someone to just talk her through it. And I'm there for her.
Okay, Martin, for those that do want this program, how do they get involved with it? Is it a website? Is it more or less like just, you know, get a hold of you and you direct them? How does that go?
Well, soon I'll have, maybe by the time this is up, I'll have my workshop ready, which will be a 4-hour workshop, which will be philanthropic. The payment that you make to come to my workshop, by the way, I found more people come when you pay for a workshop than when you give it to them for free, right? So I decided to make it where you pay and the money goes to a charity. I picked the charity, the Gift of Life. Okay. What Gift of Life does is they swab people's cheeks so that they can find donors for people who are sick. So in 2006, there was a little girl in my community who was dying of leukemia. So we all swabbed our cheeks. 12 years later in 2018, Gift of Life called me up and said, you're a match to a man who's 40 something years old, who's got leukemia and he needs stem cells. Well, thank God I was able to give him stem cells. And 2 years later, he sent me a letter saying I saved his life. So it costs money to do the swabbing and the testing and to do all that stuff. So the money that people pay to come to my workshop will go to that. And in that workshop, I'll lay out everything. At the end of it, if you want, you could even do it on your own. It'll be harder. It'll be longer. But, you know, I have what I call this risk reversal strategy where the risk is on me just as much as it's on you to succeed. So to get all that, to figure all that, you could go to connectwithmartin.com. Over there, you can make an appointment to talk to me for free for half an hour. You could buy my book. You could buy my cards. There's other things that you can download. I talked about the warrior, the seven steps of the warrior mindset. You could break that and find a free gift for that. The cycle of A's, which is part of that. There's a lot of gifts there. So go to connectwithmartin.com. My New York attitude just gets going.
No problem with that. I'm used to that. But now, Are you on Facebook? Are you on Instagram? Are you on LinkedIn? Any of those big platforms?
Yes, yes, yes. And I even, for a while, had a YouTube channel where, and I might get back to it, where I was cooking and coaching at the same time.
Awesome. So again, this has been Martin Salama. He's an author, and he also does entrepreneurs. So I would like to thank him again. This has been Jason Coffee Man with Saturday Java with Jason. Until next week, talk to you then.